Hey guys, this is called a debrief episode. It's an episode that David and I record right after the podcast. This one was delayed by a few days. I think it took us a while to catch up after the episode with WorldCoin, but we wanted to release this on the public feed so everyone has access to it and you can see our thoughts coming out of the conversation with WorldCoin. Usually this debrief is available only for bankless citizens, available on the Bankless Premium RSS feed, but today we are releasing it publicly. So we hope you enjoy. This should give you some insight into the conversation we just had with WorldCoin. Thanks a lot. Hey guys, welcome to the debrief after the episode that I wasn't on with WorldCoin. Sam Altman.
The cool thing about debriefs is it doesn't matter.
Okay, whatever you want. Tell me about it.
We had on Sam Altman and Alex Bolania of WorldCoin.
Yes.
First time Sam Altman's been on the show. First time Alex has been on the show. So you weren't there, so I have to tell you about what the episode was about.
You guys recorded on Mother's Day. I couldn't be there.
Oh, that's right. That's why you weren't there. It was also a Sunday. I don't think you would have. Yeah.
Sundays are rough. Would have aped out anyway.
Yeah. So it was just a straightforward download on WorldCoin.
Okay.
So for people who had never heard about WorldCoin before, this would be a great episode for them. Talked a little bit about the drama about WorldCoin's launch, which we actually had a quick story about the WorldCoin launch way back when, because they were going to come on the show and then their PR company canceled because you sent out the tweet, "What the fuck is going on with WorldCoin?" And the PR company thought it was hella hostile. So we're out. Yeah. You don't remember
Did
this?
You guys bring that up?
Not in the recording, but afterwards. Okay. Yes.
What'd
I brought
they
it
say
up
about
with Alex
that?
And Alex was like, "Oh yeah, we fired those people for long ago. And they were terrible." And I'm like, "Thank you." They were.
That's so stupid, man. So that put a bad taste in my mouth when that happened. Mm-hmm. And that's not the only two times that's happened, actually, besides I won't count Charles from Cardano, but Gavin Wood. Okay.
Right. Gavin
Polkadot,
Wood. Yeah.
Polkadot scheduled.
Yeah.
We're like, "Hey, could it?" And then could Gavin come to the podcast, haven't explored the Polkadot ecosystem? And then I think maybe a few days before.
Really close.
Yeah. The comms lead at Polkadot reached out and was like, "Hey, we went back through some of your previous tweets years ago. Mm-hmm. And we don't like what you, and Gavin's not going to come on the podcast. So we should cancel this," and tried to substitute someone else at Polkadot in the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I asked for what the offending tweets were, and they were so tame.
They were just weak.
It was just so tame. Anyway, that kind of puts a bad taste in my mouth when projects do that. But I guess they're saying
so.
It's
I'm
their
giving
PR firm,
I'm giving World.
That.
Yeah, it was a PR firm. It was a PR right. company, and I knew that it was. We knew that it was because when the PR company canceled on the show originally on us, that I went to Alex just straight on Twitter and I was like, "Hey, fuck your PR company. You need to, you're getting WorldCoin is getting the absolute shit slammed on them right now. The backing away from the public spotlight is this is not the right time to
Everyone
do that.
Everyone is asking the questions that we would ask you on a podcast.
Right. Yeah.
It's so stupid.
And so I basically said that to Alex in DMs. I was like, "You need to ignore your PR company. Just come on." Mainly, that was very valid and real and authentic advice. And B, I also did not want to emergency find another guest. He didn't go for it. Anyways, the cool trivia about that episode is the episode that came out of that was Ultra Scalable Ethereum, which turned out to be an absolute banger.
Oh, the one that we did last minute?
Yes, yeah.
We put together a brush agenda?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. anyway, so that was the precursor to this whole story. So finally, that had to have been over a year ago.
That was a long time ago.
Now WorldCoin is still around, still building, has won some hearts and minds to have joined the team and support the effort. Mainly people I respect, DC Builder. I don't know if you know that name floating around on crypto Twitter.
This is not DC Investor.
Not DC Investor, DC Builder. Zero knowledge cryptography researcher guy that everyone generally trusts and appreciates in the space. He joined WorldCoin. A few other people joined WorldCoin. Optimism and WorldCoin are collaborating on OP mainnet / OP stack stuff.
I think they still have a major uphill battle. So I am
about what?
Okay, so let me just say two things about this. One is, I am very excited to listen to this episode, actually. Mm-hmm. And thankless listeners should know, I'm coming to the debrief not having listened to the episode. So you guys are at an advantage to me. So we actually are recording this because schedules, David was in Zizalu and just mm-hmm. schedules permitting. We're recording this, I think, like weeks later, really, this debrief. But I still haven't listened to the episode, and I am excited to listen to it. And I intend to go into this episode with an open mind. I also don't think it will answer all of my questions. I think it'll be
too high level.
Yeah. It'll be a high level.
We only had 60 minutes.
Yeah, it'll open up the door for other questions. And I think one of my big questions is around sort of probably the privacy of this network, probably like how decentralized really is it? Like how public goodsy is it? How values aligned is it? I'm actually not sure what series of questions this will completely unlock, but I guess I don't want to hear a VC marketing machine tell me these things. I want to hear like independent community, like representatives in that people that I respect in privacy and decentralization talk about these things. So, but I guess, so that's one part of it. The other part I would say, I think that they are just, it's just hard. I mean, I said this on the roll up last week, David, but like the crypto bros want to orb you, right? And like,
it's not great.
I mean, to what? To capture your identity and who's behind it? It's the guy who's building the most powerful AI in the world, yeah. Sam Altman. And like, I don't know. That's an uphill marketing battle, I think. And like, maybe it should be. It's a very, if you're going to do something of this type of magnitude and make these types of vision commitments, then I think like you owe the world a commensurate level of transparency, auditability, openness. Like that's a pretty high bar to me.
And they say all of that stuff is on their roadmap. They say, and I'm a trusting individual. I tend to believe them. I think like there are some projects out there that are very in the crypto world that are very like beloved. Like Gitcoin comes to mind, Protocol Guild, Optimism, I would say has some of this. WorldCoin has like the opposite of that. It's like, what is the opposite of beloved? I don't know, but it's like, it's easy to hate WorldCoin just by the nature of what it is, which is like, if you trust WorldCoin and believe WorldCoin, then it's like totally unfair because they're doing the same thing. It's just like, yeah, we're trying to.
But you just said, David, you're a trusting individual. Why are you mm-hmm. a trusting individual? After all the shit we've gone through in crypto, like why would you trust anybody in this space to do any, like
this... I was a trusting individual before crypto, first off.
And so hasn't
I'm just
crypto
a trusting
like,
individual. My disposition is
jaded
to trust.
You? Hasn't crypto kind of like shown you to be less trusting in some cases, particularly when you have sort of the setup of large VC allocation, a coin, super ambitious kind of promises, lots of ways to cut corners. Like, I'm not saying WorldCoin could be fantastic. I have no idea, but I'm just saying the pattern fits many patterns we've seen in the past of like this not working out very well. And I think that's what the white blood cells, the immune system of crypto is just kind of like indiscriminately attacking. And I think if you want to get more precise in the white blood cells, you really have to go dive deep. Most people don't have time to do that, including myself, honestly. It's like, mm-hmm. I'm going to be relying on third-party privacy researchers, people in the crypto community I trust. I'm going to do a little more, like, I'm going to be able to do levels of due diligence, but I can't vet this thing from the ground up. Anyway, this trust, like, why should we trust what they say at all? Like, why shouldn't we default posture to like, oh, this is a bunch of bullshit, and then, you know, work our way out of that.
I'm not going to make the case for why one should trust WorldCoin, but I will make the argument for, let's see, I'm not saying that you should trust WorldCoin, but here is the argument for like why there are some green flags here that are different from like all of the 2022 like mess that we don't want to go back to. One is like the idea, if you accept that the idea that biometric scanning is the most Sybil resistant mechanism to produce proof of humanity, then you get something like the orb. And so you can start to like cast away the negative connotation that iris scanning and the orb has, which is like a source of like distrust. It's just like the whole aesthetics of the whole thing. So you can like try and shave that from your brain. Then there's like, okay, VC like allocation, serializing humans, like all that kind of stuff. Like Sam, like, do you trust Sam Altman? Like maybe like, what does Sam Altman have in it that like Three Arrows Capital or Do Kwon or SPF? He just doesn't fit those types. And neither does Alex Blania, right? Like maybe if Alex Blania was loud on Twitter and
they're not populist.
They're not populist, right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So there's not that, right? It doesn't seem like a get rich quick scheme. They actually have a roadmap to produce something uniquely valuable and unique in and of itself to crypto. I don't think it maps onto the whole things that we should.
Does it map onto like a VC coin, VC alternative layer one that we've seen so many times? I know it's not actually an alternative layer one, so that alone makes it kind of different. Right. But you know, we've seen many just ridiculously funded.
Yeah,
alternative layer ones that kind of like go liquid, and then you just sort of get this feeling and kind of see in the data that the VCs just dump on you once it
right.
it gets into the market, and they don't really go anywhere. They don't have product market fit. It just feels like corporate top down. It doesn't feel organic. There's right. no builders. There's no community. And so I guess where that usually turns into is not an outright scam, but just like, I don't know. Exit, you become exit liquidity in some cases right. for VCs, and then it becomes sort of a zombie chain, which right. is not like the worst outcome. That's not like a SBF mm-hmm. FTX style outcome or a Lunaterra outcome, but it's still not a it's not a great outcome.
So like it is heavily VC weighted. There's two ways to approach like VC weighting. There are like the easy, like, yo, let's fork Ethereum, fork the EVM, which the Ethereum researchers have been building for like almost a decade now, more than a decade now. And then like, let's raise on it and then like keep all the tokens for ourselves and dump on the followers. So like get other people to do the lift work, pump the token ourselves with our VC marketing dollars and then dump. So like not much work, a lot of upside. Mm-hmm. So the WorldCoin project is a ton of work. Is a ton of work.
You're saying it's not like a fork. It's not like a me too of something
right,
else.
Like the VC raise, the amount, the VC dollars are legitimate because there's no way that they could get the orb mass produced in a way that other people can produce the orb. And there's no way that they could get people to scan other eyeballs like that aren't in the WorldCoin and like aren't WorldCoin employees. Like that whole lift side of things requires VC dollars. It's a very legitimate use of a capital raise. And then like the whole like so like that just checks out to me. Like you need VC money for that.
So it still doesn't fit the mold of a typical yes. VC exit scam right. kind of thing. Uh-huh. And I put scam in quotations because it's right. usually just ghost chain, low product market right. fit, where you become exit liquidity if you buy this particular token, but you don't have to buy
right.
this
and also
token.
It's not even the point of WorldCoin isn't even the token. Mm-hmm. Like that's one of 3 points.
What are the 3 points?
Proof of humanhood, mm-hmm. the coin, and I'm missing one. Maybe just two. I feel like there's World ID, there's the World App, which I think is pretty similar to World ID. It's like, yeah, it's the wallet, your authentication, but I guess that's pretty similar to World ID.
This is built on a layer two, right?
So right now they're deploying on OP mainnet, and eventually they will make OP stack chain.
And so this will be their own sort of... Will it be like a layer 3 type chain or?
It'll be an independent OP stack chain.
Which, independent OP stack chain.
Which in theory like fits into the Optimism super chain model.
I mean, that's kind of cool, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I guess.
So like as an OP stack chain, the app so it's like an app specific chain. And what does that app specific chain do? It provides proof of humanhood the WorldCoin way.
Okay.
To the OP super chain. which is eventually just Ethereum.
And by the way, the reason I'm coming in a little hotter in this is because I think this is how the white blood cells are attacked. These are the questions. I guess maybe the last, we don't have necessarily full satisfactory answers on what you just raised already, but I think you are offering some valid points of how this kind of breaks the pattern, the typical pattern we've seen. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm doing right now. And I think that's what the crypto community is doing, pattern recognition. Mm-hmm. But there's this third kind of negative pattern that I think people see, and that is the figure of Sam Altman, which is like, all right, tech bro, I put him in quotations, billionaire. I don't even know if he's a billionaire. I heard him go in front of
a billionaire.
Okay, so but he went in front of,
he quacks like one
in Congress. I mean, he has no equity in OpenAI. Like, I just don't even know how this works.
Yeah, he has no equity in OpenAI. I think that you can't necessarily take that at face value, because like, he could have no equity at OpenAI, and then OpenAI could get liquidity, and then he could get like $1 billion grant from OpenAI. So there's like roundabout ways where that doesn't really matter.
He feels like the Mark Zuckerberg of the 2020s, in that he has created this technology that is clearly going to change everything about the fabric of the way humans organize and interact in OpenAI, right? Mm-hmm. And so he is sort of this, and now we're at a phase, I think, in the world where like tech bros from Silicon Valley are like all kind of grouped into this parasitic extractor type of motif. And some people might think that's fair. Some people might think that's unfair. I think the majority of society, though, just doesn't trust that sort of individual at this point in time.
Sure.
And so I guess a question to you is like, or maybe just a question to mull over is like, is this guy legit, or is this guy going to be like somewhat evil or somewhat influenced by Moloch traps and all of the things that we've seen tech billionaires get influenced by, leading to like bad outcomes for society? I guess the question is, can you really trust Sam Altman? What it comes down to.
So yeah, the archetype of like the Web 2 extractor, the Zuck Web 2 idea. Like, I'm reminded of the this quote from Sam Harris, where he was talking about how everyone is like, they are no fewer people in the, like, there's a modern movement to ignore expertise. Just like, oh, experts are wrong. They're all wrong. Like, experts like told you to wear masks and they're wrong. And so he was throwing a flag at that whole like movement that's going on in the
like
in modern day culture.
Anti-intellectualism sort
yeah,
of.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Okay. And he's like, the way that society progresses is like, there are experts and then they say things and then we prove those experts wrong. That's how society moves forward. Mm-hmm. But who actually proves experts wrong? Other experts.
Yeah.
Like, more experts, not the masses. And so like, to carry over this analogy, Zuckerberg is the old expert. Sam Altman, who knows if he's a better, newer expert who proves the old archetype wrong. But as me, as a trusting individual, I would like to leave that door open, that the way through that bad branding for tech bro, VC tech bro, founder, innovator type is actually we find one that like does good for the world, like who fixes the problems. Like, it's not going to be like the average Joe that solves proof of humanhood in the AI world. It's going to be a VC tech bro. That's why he's a VC tech bro, is that's how you solve these problems.
What was your impression of him during the conversation?
I'm slowly liking him more and more and more.
Why? What do you like about him?
He seems authentic. He seems nice. he's not running away from the alignment problem.
I mean, I think some.
If he is good in the front and then bad in the back, he is a world class sociopath.
What does the AI safety community think about this guy? I mean, I know Eliezer Yudkowsky.
I don't know.
Eliezer Yudkowsky is like burned down all the GPUs. Like,
yeah, he's an extremist.
Okay, but I'm surprised that AI safety. I haven't really seen AI safety and alignment groups come out and like torch OpenAI. Sam Altman very
or
publicly.
Well, anyone, right? They don't haven't torched anyone.
Is that sort of happening, or is there the general impression in AI alignment communities that OpenAI is not perfect, they've done a fairly good job so far, and they're not completely ignoring safety. They're still trying to remain competitive, and they're trying to do the right thing.
OpenAI has an alignment division inside of them, and apparently contribute to this world.
Well, there's another factor of why people are scared, and that's just because these tech billionaires are so powerful these days. It's like, how powerful is Mark Zuckerberg at this point? How powerful is the individual who is masterminding OpenAI, right? And that now you're doing decentralized identity as well. You're doing WorldCoin as well. I think that unnerves people. One thing I'd say, though, because this has been somewhat, you know, me throwing lobbing grenades and criticisms. Mm-hmm. What is the alternative to decentralized identity? That is the threshold to cross. It's like, basically, what we're going to be left with is some sort of nation state digital identity, right? I mean, that's all we have. I mean, India already has that deployed now, and that's completely centralized. Now, you might argue, well, that's, this is the probably the Rowan Gray argument. That, well, yeah, of course, decentralized identity, it's great. It's a, you know, democratic nation state sort of proposing this and putting this forward. And so that's a great thing. But that is definitely centralized technology. And I do think that is the only viable alternative that we've seen. For all of the decentralized identity experiments in crypto so far, none of them have really taken off. So as long as this thing is better than that or different enough than that, it feels like a worthwhile experiment to keep running. Like, what's the downside, I guess, right, would be my question.
That's where I go back to, like, the claim that biometric scanning is the best form of civil resistance. If that, I don't know, there's probably some measure of truth or falsity to that. But still, it's biometric. There's a reason why we do biometric scanning. So turning biometric scanning into proof of humanhood, I think, is a noble endeavor. And so that is why I am categorizing myself as a WorldCoin apologist.
Wait, you'd say a WorldCoin apologist?
Yeah.
So that, like, apologist means like you're fighting for WorldCoin. Like, you are evangelizing for WorldCoin. You are making the argument.
I'm just saying that, like, the existence of WorldCoin is not the thing to be upset about.
I guess my take is, and this might be a more moderate take, I'm just open-minded. I think that sometimes the crypto white blood cells attack too hard and destroy things without good reason. And so I am pretty open-minded about this one and excited to see how it plays out. When are you going to get orbed, David?
I'm not getting orbed.
If you're an apologist, though, you have to get orbed at some point.
I will get orbed when I need to do something that requires me getting orbed.
What's the benefit of getting orbed anyway? Is it just you get world coins?
You get world coins sooner. You get a distribution of world coins.
And the idea is that world coins, like any crypto token, appreciate in value over time.
And so, yes, Sam Altman actually talked about that on the podcast, like, explicitly, like, number go up. Like, so, like, the interesting thing about WorldCoin is that, like, not only is it a currency that might be used, but it might also be like, a graph for like things like airdrops or distributions. So if WorldCoin as a distribution mechanism becomes legitimately decentralized and distributed to humans equally all over the planet, then it becomes a very good graph to distribute other things to. Remember you read Bill Bowder's book, Red Notice?
Yeah.
Yeah. So like there was a big problem when the Soviet Russia went from communist to capitalist. Like, how did they distribute the equity of the companies to the people of Russia? And so they gave out like these vouchers things and to people, like, if there was WorldCoin, they would have just been airdropped. Here's the equity of the company to the citizens of Russia, right? It's just like it's a legitimate mapping of equity and capital as far, it's like the most legitimately distributed asset of all time is the thesis that they're going after.
Why WorldCoin? Why are they calling this thing WorldCoin?
I don't know. I don't know.
All right. Well, open-minded. And then when's this thing launching? Did you find that out?
They do not have a public date yet.
Okay. Well, I do know that
it's like rolls out. It's not like one thing that launches. It rolls out over time.
Do you know our editor, Luke of Bankless Newsletter, he got orbed actually on Thursday, New York City.
Luma?
Yeah, Luma got orbed.
Luma got orbed?
Yeah, he went to the offices and got orbed as a test.
No shit.
Yeah. So I haven't debriefed with him.
Is it going to be like the, what's that Dr. Seuss book? Starbelly Sneeches or whatever?
Orbed? If you're orbed, yeah, or if you're not?
Yeah, if you've been orbed or not. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. I feel like they could have done something different in the marketing, but maybe there's no other way. WorldCoin, well, orbs.
That's what I was thinking about. Like, okay, so if you, once you commit to the biometric scanning thesis, like then you conclude, this is like outside of just crypto stuff, then you conclude that irises are the most legitimate biometric scanning technology. So you are scanning irises. If you believe in biometric scanning, you believe in scanning irises.
So you're saying there's no way to make that.
How do you make a thing that is mass producible so that we can capture 8 billion irises? Like, what shape do you put that in? Do you want it to be a box? Because the box isn't much better. Like, do you want to like dress it up like a teddy bear? Because that's kind of worse. Like, how do you do it? How do you do it in a way that doesn't make people squirm? It's not possible.
Maybe, could you do it? Yeah, it's probably not possible if you have to have an independent hardware device. You can't create an app for it or something like this.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
Once you make its own device, you have to, it has to be custom. It can't look like anything else. Like, what, how do you do it?
I still think a Chrome
orb is like as good as idea as any.
I still think that even though this is very well funded, given the names and given kind of the ambition as well, it kind of should be. I still think that the most likely scenario of a product like this is it doesn't reach product market fit, right? And I just say that because that's generally what happens with startups. This is the startup phase. And so maybe I think a few things to watch is like, how's traction going? Is it able to resist Sybil attacks or not? That's a huge
question. Big question.
How many new IDs are they getting over time? It's stuff like that, I think, that will really
the big question is like, because like Sam Altman is doing this because the world of AI is coming. And so I think without the world of AI,
wait, why? What's the tie? Because you need to prove who the humans are?
Oh, yeah, on the internet, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so like WorldCoin without AI, I don't think has much legs. Like I think Sam Altman is going to simultaneously produce the need for WorldCoin using OpenAI. And that has actually been his plan all along. He's like, first I need to make OpenAI, and then there's going to be AIs everywhere. Ooh, then we're going to need to figure out who the humans are. So I'm also going to make this WorldCoin thing.
So like, I create the problem and also the solution. I mean, you can see how this gets model, very...
it's a good business model.
Yeah. Anyway, to be determined. We'll see. Mm-hmm. It would definitely be great to have Sam on the podcast again and talk about AI stuff as well. But I'm sure we'll get into that some future stage.
He's going to owe the world a handful of conversations.
Well, Bankless Nation, let us know what you think of WorldCoin and this conversation. As always, we appreciate you being Bankless Citizen. Thanks a lot.